To Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. If you are using the Bible that's in front of you, you can find that on page 977, or going over to 978. This is the last sermon in this series on whose vision. We've been talking about whose vision are we going to follow. Are we going to follow anybody's vision for the church? Are we going to follow the vision that Jesus has for his church? And we've covered a lot of ground in the last several weeks. And today is sort of a summary in some ways. Last week was a summary, but also this week. And I want to encourage you that today is a good day to be here to hear what God has to say in his word. Starting in March, we will be starting a new series on the book of Titus. And just as a teaser for that, if you've ever wondered, what does it really mean to be a follower of Christ? What is it? I believe that Jesus has saved me, that his grace is sufficient for me, but what does that mean? What do I do next? That's really what the book of Titus will help us to understand. So if you're trying to figure out what's the next step, how do I live as a follower of Christ, Titus will give us some of those answers. So I encourage you to come back and hear from that series. But in the meantime, we're going to finish this series up, and we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll remind you that this is the Word of God. Starting in verse 11. And he, that is Jesus, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. It is music to our ears, and it is good for our souls. It is good for us to submit ourselves to your truth. Will you sanctify us by your truth today? Will you help us to understand and apply what your word says? And Jesus, we are so thankful that you did not stay in heaven and tell us that we have to climb a ladder to get to you. No, you came down to us to give us the truth and to give us your grace and love. And in the same way, will you help me as I come down from this pulpit to meet with your people and share the truth of your word, that I would do so in humility, in love, and in grace. And cause all of us, Holy Spirit, to grow up into the maturity you have for us in Christ. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you know that I have been meeting for the past year or so, almost every Wednesday morning, with a group of pastors from the community. We meet at IHOP, which is not the healthiest place to eat, nor the least expensive place to eat, but it's been good. It's been a very encouraging time for me, and I've learned a lot and grown a lot just by talking with these men and sharing some stories and being encouragement. It's just been a great time. But there was one time, one breakfast, where I left feeling very discouraged and a little self-conscious. Let me tell you a little bit about that. See, we were all sitting around talking and eating our pancakes or whatever, and then one of them, for whatever reason, asked me, "How old are you, Stuart?" And at the time, I was 46, so I said, "I'm 46 years old." And he got this look on his face. Like, "Really? You're 46? And I said, "Yep, I sure am. And then he said, "You don't act like a 46-year-old. Now, at first, I took that as a compliment. Thought, "Yeah, I'm a youthful guy." But when I left, it started rolling around in my mind, and I thought, he was saying I was immature. He was saying I don't act my age. He was saying that I'm not the kind of person that I need to be a 46-year-old. Now, honestly, I don't know what his motives were in saying those words. I really don't. But that played into my insecurities. That really made me self-conscious for a while. And it discouraged me somewhat because I started thinking, maybe I'm not as mature as I should be. Maybe I should learn to grow up. And you know, and that really hit me hard because all my life, I've wanted to be the mature one in the room. Even when I was a young kid, I wanted to be the mature one in the room. And I remember very, very vividly as a child thinking what it was going to be like when I was in my 40s. And I was going to have life all figured out. And people would come to me and they would say, "Stuart, tell us what life is all about and tell us how to live your life. Why is it that you live your life this way, that everything is just right?" And I would say, "Yes, I will share my wisdom with you." And now as a 47-year-old, I have to admit, most of the time I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't reached that maturity that I was hoping for, that I longed for. And you know, I've talked to some of you, and I've realized that whether you're in your 20s or your 30s or your 40s or your 50s or your 60s or even older, some of you feel the same way. That you thought you would have it all together, that you thought you had grown up by now, and yet you're still wrestling and still dealing with issues that you thought you would leave behind. I think in every one of us, there is a longing to be mature. A longing to grow up to be what God intended us to be. And here's the good news, folks. Jesus' vision for his church is that we would grow up into maturity. That's good news. That what Jesus' vision for his church is that we would grow up into maturity. Not that we would stay as children, but he has given us everything we need for life and for godliness so that we would grow up into mature manhood, as this passage talks about. To look at this passage with me, and we're just going to go through this very quickly, to see this growing up into maturity. Verse 11, Jesus gave all kinds of leaders to the church. And why did he give these? Verse 12, to equip the saints. If you're a believer in Christ, that's you. Not if you die and you lived a good life and somebody says you're going to become a saint because of that. No, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been set up for God and therefore you are a saint. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. until we reach the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. Verse 14, so that we may no longer be children who are tossed to and fro. Verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. To grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. And then verse 16, the whole body works together, and when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You see? It's all over this passage that Jesus' vision for His church is that we would grow up into maturity. Now, what you probably don't know, and what we need to be reminded of from this passage, is that each person plays a part in the process of maturation. Each person plays a part in the process of maturation. And I just want you to know, as a pastor, it broke my heart that I could not think of a word for maturation that started with P. Because that would have been a lot of P's in that one sentence. Each person plays a part in the process of maturation. That includes you. And you might be thinking, no, I don't play a part. Yes, you do. Jesus says it. God says it. Don't believe me? Believe His word. Verse 11, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, and we think those are the guys who are doing the real ministry. That's how we tend to think. But notice He says those were given to equip the saints. Again, that's you. For the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And then in verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, again, that's you if you're in Christ, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. And listen, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Each person that God calls into His church plays a part in us growing up. And that shouldn't surprise us. Think about your family life. Is it only the father who helps the children to grow up into maturity? No, of course not. The mother plays a huge role in that. Is it only the parents who play a part in them growing up in maturity? I have three kids. And sometimes they, in their interactions, help each other to grow up because they have to deal with things that they wouldn't have had to have dealt with otherwise. That's just life. Every time we interact with another person, we have opportunities for growth, opportunities to grow, to be mature, to grow up. And so that means God has designed the church as His family, and every one of us has a part to play in growing each other up so that the whole body, that all of us, as this passage says, will grow up into maturity in the faith. Does that encourage you? Or does that make you have a little fear and trembling? I hope it encourages you that you have a part to play, that you have a role. is no circle of people within the church that are unnecessary. You hear me? There is not one person that God calls into His church that could be a throwaway, that doesn't have a role to play, a part to play. Because we're all one body. And each part, when it's working properly, helps the body to grow so that it builds itself up in love. And this means, to put it even more clear, this means each person has a role in ministry. Each person has a role in ministry. Verse 11 and 12. Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to do the work of ministry. Isn't that what the scripture says? Are y'all awake? I just said something that's not biblical. Okay, let me say it again and see if you caught it. Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to do the work of ministry. While everybody else watches. Now, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the scriptures say. It says, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And again, verse 16. When the whole body joined and held together, when each part is working properly, that's what makes the body grow. We all have a part to play, and that part to play is called ministry. Now, not all ministries look alike, and not all ministries are standing up in front and talking like I am, but everybody has a part to play. Now, let me massage this in even further in a way that I hope really drives this home. Jesus has given leaders to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's His model for the church. And in fact, any model of the church that places ministry in the hands of only one or a few is contrary to Jesus' vision of the church. You hear what I'm saying there? Any vision or any model of the church that says the pastor is the one who does it all and we are the recipients of his ministry. Or the pastor and the elders and the deacons, they're the ones who do the ministry and we're just the recipients of it. Or the staff, they're the ones who do all the ministry and we're just the recipients of it. Any view that sees the church that way is contrary to Jesus' vision of the church. Do you really want to go against Jesus' vision of the church? I mean, do you really want to do that? Do you really want to say, hey, Jesus, I know better. I know what really works in the church. Well, I've said all that, but let me say a confession. Even though I know better, I've been taught this passage most of my life. I believe this passage. I have taught on this passage. But I find myself often falling into the trap of thinking, I've got to do it all. And that's wrong. And there have been times where I have robbed members of this church from engaging in the ministry that God equipped you to do because I thought, I have. have to do it. Please forgive me for that. I was wrong to do that. Jesus' model for the church, Jesus' vision for the church is that the pastor, the shepherd, the teacher is the one who equips the saints for the work of ministry. I have my part to play, you have your part to play, and my part is to equip you to do ministry. Now maybe you're saying, well, Stuart, what does that look like? How are you going to equip us? You know, there's a whole bunch of us and there's only one of you. How are you going to equip? Well, there are various ways. I mean, one is what I'm doing right now, teaching and preaching, to remind God's people of what the Word says so that you do the works that God has prepared for you to do. You've been saved by grace. It's not of your works. Your works don't have any part in your salvation. In fact, your salvation is totally because of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on your behalf and rising from the dead. If you believe in Jesus, if you trust in Him, you are saved. You have salvation. You don't have to do anything else to earn it. You don't earn it at all. It is a gift that God has given you in Christ. And the only way you receive it is to simply believe it's true. Isn't that good news? You don't have to climb the ladder of success in God's eyes. No, the gospel is Jesus climbed down the ladder to meet with us, to die for our sins, to rise from the dead. And then He ascended into heaven and He gave His Spirit to give gifts to us. So that, as God's workmanship, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. And my role is to remind you of that, to point out what those good works are, to encourage you to rest in the power of the Spirit at work in you, to trust in Jesus, to know His power, that even when you are weak, He is strong, to put all of your eggs in the basket of Jesus and know His power at work in you. That's part of my role, to equip you that way by teaching and preaching. Now the second way, and this is, I say this with some fear and trembling because... because it's scary. The second way that I equip you is by example. For whatever reason, in God's wisdom, He made me your pastor. And I don't understand it, but this is where I am. And what I know is true, whether I want it to be true or not, is that as my role as pastor, as my role as shepherd, as my role as teacher, I can not only teach and preach, but I have to demonstrate what I'm saying in my life to help equip you. And that's an area of growth for me. It scares me to death to tell you what Paul told many people in his day. Follow me as I follow Christ. But that's my role. That's my role. Follow me as I follow Christ. So I teach and I preach and I show you an example. I engage in ministry to show you what it looks like. But I don't do all the ministry myself because I have to equip you. And that leads me to the third way that I do this. I have to give you the opportunities. I have to tell you about the opportunities. And I have to encourage you to engage in the ministry. And I'll say this too. And this one, I need to provide an encouraging environment for you to engage in ministry, even if you mess up. You don't know how many stories I have heard of people who have engaged in ministry, who have been called in some way to engage in ministry, and the leadership of the church said, nope, you don't do it that way. And what do you think happened to those folks? Do you think they wanted to continue in ministry? Part of my role as equipper to the saints is to make sure that that doesn't happen. To make sure, yes, we need to have evaluations, what went well, what didn't go well, but to make sure that I'm encouraging you rather than discouraging you, building you up for the work of ministry rather than tearing you down. And I am sorry that I know there have been times where I have probably slapped some of you on the hand. Metaphorically, of course. That's got to change. That's got to change. That's part of me growing up as your pastor. And part of my goal in growing up in this way is if somebody's on the sidelines and they are critiquing those who are on the front lines, I need to stand up and say, look, we're all in this together. Don't be on the sidelines critiquing if you're not willing to get on the front lines and do the ministry. In the love of Christ, of course. Because we don't want to tear each other down. We want to build each other up. Right? God is playing here at Westminster to help equip you to do the work of ministry, to grow into maturity, to be mature in the faith. And you might be saying, well, Stuart, what does maturity look like? You know what it looks like? What does maturity look like? It looks like Jesus. That's what maturity looks like. It looks like Jesus. Take a look at this passage. He gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, so that we will be the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's Christ formed in you. You being conformed to the image of Jesus. That's the goal of what maturity looks like. Speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up into Him who is the head, into Christ. In this race that we call the Christian life, that's what finishing the that's what crossing the finishing line looks like. It looks like Jesus. It looks like reflecting His glory back to Him. It's like reflecting His character back to Him. And we are not done growing until we look like Him. Do you hear me, church? We are not done growing until we see Him face to face and we reflect Him back perfectly. And if we ever get into a place where we're thinking, you know, I'm kind of content with where I am in my faith, that's where the danger lies. We're to be content about what we have, our possessions. But in this life, we can't be content with anything less than Jesus. Jesus' vision for His church is that He, because He loves us, because He has loved us, because He has given us His love, we are to love one another. because he is a humble Savior who humbled himself even to the point of death. We're to be humble people. Because he has made us one body in himself and one family that belongs to God, we are unified and we're to show that unity in various ways. Because he focused on the weightier matters of the law, we too. We don't get sidetracked by things that aren't as important as those weightier things. And because Jesus, because the Son of God put on flesh to dwell among us, to be with us, we too, through what we called last week an incarnational flexibility, we learn how to meet people where they are rather than where we would like them to be. That's part of what growing up in Christ is going to look like for Westminster Presbyterian Church. In fact, for any church, because that's what Jesus wants, is for us to grow up into that. So I've been trying to give you three things to do at the end of each sermon. So here's my three for this week. First of all, and I don't want this to be a burden to anyone, but I encourage you, for the next 30 days, read this passage. For the next 30 days, read Ephesians 4, at least 11 through 16. You can read the entire chapter if you'd like. That would be even better. But for the next 30 days, do that. And then remind yourself, God has called me to the work of ministry. And that should lead you to the second thing. Pray about what is my part. Pray, what is my part? What is the role that I play? What is it that I bring to the table of the church? If you don't know, hey, there's all kinds of ways that you can engage. Some of you, financially, God has blessed you, and you can give generously, not just to the church, but to people who are in need, to God's people who are in need. Some of you are prayer warriors, and the first thing on your mind, not the last thing, but the first thing on your mind, when you hear of a need, you want to pray. Put that into action. And when you hear about things, pray for the good of His church. Hey, we do life groups here, small groups that meet together to help us to engage with one another better and to help one another grow. Let me tell you, I'm one of the leaders of a life group, but I don't do everything. I do some of it, but you know, I don't even know where we're going to meet half the time because there are other people in my group that handle those situations. They handle those details. And I just ask Donna, where are we meeting tonight? And she tells me. What are we having for dinner tonight as a group? And she tells me. Because that gives everybody in the group a part to play. We have a need for help with, we have always have a need for our growing children's ministry. We have a need for welcoming to people who come in who are first-time visitors. We have Sunday school needs. The Good News Club that meets over across the street at Alice Drive Elementary School, I'm sure they could always use more people. We have men's ministry, and I'm sure Alfred would appreciate help in trying to make sure that our men get together and encourage one another in the faith. We have VBS coming up. We have United Ministries that many of you are already involved in, but that's a way that we can love and care for our community. There's the Sumter Pregnancy Center. They're always looking for volunteers. There are the summer building projects where the body of Christ gets together and goes out and builds for people who have needs. There are all kinds of ways. There's not just one type of gift. There are all types of gifts. Pray about that and say, God, what is it that I have to offer and how can I offer it? And then if you can't figure that out from there, let's talk. And I know that some of you aren't even members of the church, and you're saying, what does this have to do with me? Can I tell you something that I believe wholeheartedly? I don't think you're here by accident. Maybe the reason you're here is because you have something that we need. And if not this church, maybe there's another church that you have something that you can give, and it will help that church to be what they need to be. I believe that with all my heart. And then third, some of you are going to think I've lost my mind, and maybe I have. Don't just read the passage, don't just pray about it, but I want you to think about this. When it comes to the building up of the body, we're not just talking about Westminster Presbyterian Church. You know that the church is bigger than us, right? There are all kinds of good churches around the world. There are good churches here in Sumter. We have a relationship with two of them that where we're trying to meet there more regularly, with Jehovah Missionary Baptist and with Holy Comforter. Both of those churches have issues right now. One is they're trying to build a building, Jehovah Missionary Baptist. They're growing so much, they need to build another building. And then the other may lose their building. Holy Comforter, they're in the middle of legal battles. What would it look like for Westminster Presbyterian Church to say, you are our brothers, you are our sisters, we're in this together, and we would like to give to the causes that you have? Jehovah, you're building a building. We have $500,000 in the bank. Now, I know some of it has been set apart for various reasons, but God has blessed this church. A small church like this, having $500,000 in the bank, that's unheard of. What if God has given us some of that money to give to His church? Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But isn't this what the church should be about? If we really believe that there are brothers and sisters. And who knows what's going to happen at Holy Comforter? Maybe they're going to lose their entire building and they're going to have to start from scratch. Can we be a church that says, we're in it with you for the long haul? And if you need a space, we're going to help you get there. I can tell you that the elders are all ready to pull the trigger. But we would like for you to be engaged too. We would like for you to be a part of this too. And so I'm going to ask you to pray about this. To pray about a gift that we can give to Jehovah. And a possible gift down the road to Holy Comfort. I want us to pray about that. And to be able to come back together and give. Yeah, they're not in our denomination. Yeah, they do things differently than we do. But are they brothers and sisters in Christ? Are they family? If they are, let's show it. Let's put our money where our mouth is. We've been saying this for years. And if we don't really believe it, let's stop saying it. That's my encouragement. Those three things. Read Ephesians 4 for the next 30 days. Pray about your role. And think about and pray about your gift to another church. Those are the things that I would encourage you to be engaged in if we really want to see God's church grow up into maturity. And so, by the work of the Spirit, let's continue to grow. Let's continue to grow in maturity in Christ and engage in the work of ministry God has called us to in the gospel. And I'm going to pray for us to do that. Father, please help us to grow up into maturity in the faith, and not just this church, but help us to engage with other churches so that all of your people will grow up into maturity in Christ, so that all of us will build up one another in love. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.